Good afternoon, everybody, and Afreilich and Chanukah. Many of the aspects of the story of Yosef and his brothers, to me, are very unsettling and extremely troubling. But something that caught my attention in the last few weeks as we were reading these parshios is the relationship between Yosef and his brothers after he was sent away from his family to Mitzrayim. And what I mean by that is as follows. This shiur is going to be a little different than usual. I don't really have any conclusive points to make. I'm just making observations that stuck out at me, which are just points for all of us to think about. So number one, we're told that when Yosef meets once again with his brothers in next week's parsha, so we're told, Vayishtu Vayishkuru Imo, the entire family sits around and they all have a drink around the table. And Rashi there quotes the Medrash which says, Miyom Shemachru, from the day that they sold Yosef down to the Egyptians, from the day that they got rid of him and gave him to the Yishmaelim, Lo Shasu Yayin, they took upon themselves, they were so upset by what they had done, they decided never to have wine again. V'hu lo shasa yayin. He too also decided he wasn't going to drink wine. V'osa hayam shasu. And now finally that we're all reunited and we're no longer in this difficult predicament of being separate from each other, now we're able to once again live life the normal way that we're supposed to. Which seems to be an indication that Yosef had tremendous agony and tremendous heartbreak over the fact that he was being separated at 17 years old from his family, which makes a lot of sense. The Gemara Maseches Sota writes as well that when Yosef was being seduced by the Eishes Potiphar to go and do the Avera with her, the Gemara says at that moment Yaakov's image came into the window and the voice that he heard said, Asidin Achecha Sheyichtivu Al Avne HaEfod. Someday in the future, all of the Shvatim are going to have their names listed on the Ephod that the Kohen Gadol is going to wear, and your name is going to be left out. Do you want to be out of the family? Do you want to be the one who is rejected, who is eliminated from this whole list? And therefore Yosef says, okay, I'm going to stay away, and that is what kept him. And it seems that all those years that he was away from his family, he very much kept a focus on trying to return to them, on trying to be together with them, on wanting to be considered a part of the family as he always was. And the problem with this is the following. Yosef is away for 22 years. Of those 22 years, the Ramban writes, for 9 of the years, he was the viceroy of Mitzrayim, which means he is the second most powerful person in the most powerful country in the world. They were the leaders of the world at the time, and Yosef has so much power. And 9 years, here he is, in that position, 9 years in a position of power, and yet we don't find anywhere in the Psukim or the Midrashim that he ever made any attempt or he ever aspired to go and relocate his family. He knew exactly where they were. He knew the children of Yaakov Avinu. He knew everything about them. And certainly in the position that he was in, he could have used his political clout to figure out how to get reunited with his family. And writes the Ramban, never once did he go out of his way to try and find them and to be reunited, which is very, very unusual. Yet the Medrash says, in the opposite direction, the Achei Yosef, the brothers, were trying very much to reunite with him, and they just didn't know where to start looking. What are we going to do? Go looking in every single Egyptian home, go looking in every Arab house to try and see if we can locate our brother. They didn't know where they could even start to look for him, but they very much wanted it. Yosef, who had the ability to do it, never tried to do it at all. And the Ramban writes, how dare Yosef not try to reunite with his brothers, forgetting about the fact that they're his brothers. How about the fact that his father at home thinks he's dead? His father cannot get over the loss, and Yosef doesn't have the decency to try and be reunited with his father. In our parsha, Yosef begins to have a family of his own. And we learn that he names his oldest child Menashe. Why does he name his child Menashe? So the pasuk says, Ki nashani Elokim eskal amali, ve'eskal beis avi. The simple understanding of that pasuk is, he names his child Menashe because I was taken away from the family that I grew up in, from my father. All of them are left in one place, and I'm the only one who's separate. That's why he names his child Menashe, that he should always be reminded of the fact that I'm not myself, I'm not here. But listen to an unbelievable comment of a Medrash. And when I saw this last week, I was so taken. Pasuk says, V'chol asher hu osa Hashem matzliach biyado. Everything that Yosef did, it's like my father always tells me, so when you have these kinds of stories, it was geschmiert. I think that's the right Yiddish word. Not geschmack, geschmiert. Like everything just went smooth. Everything was amazing. So the pasuk says, everything that he did was Hashem matzliach biyado. The Ribbono shel Olam made sure that everything just went perfectly. There were no hiccups along the way. How so? Writes the Medrash. He would come to his master Potiphar and he would give him a cup of wine. Potiphar would ask him, what kind of wine is this? He would tell him whatever kind of wine it was, dry wine, sweet wine. He said, no, I wanted the other, and poof, immediately it became the other wine that he wanted. And his master was so proud of him, everything that he wanted. He said one day he wanted raw food, one day he wanted cooked food, and he would look at Yosef and he would say, no, I wanted this, I wanted that, and Yosef provided him with everything. Until finally, the Medrash says, the master realizes, hey, this man really has very special powers. It seems that God is with him. And therefore he said, Kivin Shera Rabo Kain, once Potiphar saw that this was the reality of Yosef, his servant, Maser lo kol ha-maftechos, he gave him over the keys to the whole house, and he said, look, maybe he can turn the walls into gold. It seems he can do anything. So you may as well be the one to run my house. And it says after that, Hein Adoni lo yada iti mababayis. He didn't even follow up with Yosef after that. He just said, you do whatever you want because everything you do seems to be right. Everything you do seems to be blessed. That was the life that Yosef HaTzadik was living. Everything was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing it all to happen so beautifully. Writes the Medrash, what happened next? Kivin Shera Yosef Esatzmo Bekach. Yosef sees everything's going really well, and life is not as bad as I thought. I was kicked out of my house, 17 years old. I had some difficult years, but I made a life for myself. Look where I am. Hischalocha v'shose, he puts his feet up. All right, let me start enjoying life now. Misalsa b'saro v'omer, and writes the Medrash, and that on that occasion he said, Baruch ha-makom, listen carefully, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehishkichani beis avi, that he allowed me to finally abandon where I've come from. That I no longer need my family. I'm on my own. I did okay. So this is Yosef. He's stuck in Mitzrayim. He names his child Menashe. But maybe the reason why he named his child Menashe is to say, thank God that I got rid of my family. Ki nashani Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally made me forget about them. And he made me be Matzliach on my own. And I have the opportunity to build a life of my own and to be successful on my own. Not having to always look over my shoulder and worry about my father and my brothers and what they're doing to me. I'm finally on my own. And he seems to have no regret at all for the fact that he's now in this position in the house of Potiphar, and he seems very comfortable and very gratified with the life that he has built for himself. It happens to be because Yosef made absolutely no attempt to be in touch with his family all those years, Yaakov Avinu assumed that Yosef assimilated. He was under the assumption that everything was terrible with him, and he no longer is the Yosef that he once knew. And so much so, what are we told? In next week's Parsha, it says, Yaakov Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim. And Yosef goes out to meet his father. And the Pasuk says that he cries, Vayevk al Tzavaro, he cries on the shoulders of Yaakov Avinu. Rashi famously writes, why is it that Yaakov Avinu is not kissing him? Why is Yaakov Avinu not engaged while Yosef is trying to engage with him? So Rashi says it's because he was saying Kriya Shema at the time, which is very difficult. I'm not disagreeing with Rashi, but the Mefarshim find it very troubling. If it's time to say Kriya Shema, why is Yosef not saying Kriya Shema? And if it's not time to say Kriya Shema, how come Yaakov couldn't find anything else to do after 22 years being reunited with his son? Nothing else he can do than say Kriya Shema. So, listen to the Medrash. The Medrash writes, maybe that's not really what was happening, but the Medrash says, I'll tell you why. Yosef was trying very much to engage his father. Yosef, Ratzel Anashko, Yosef is pleading with his father, give me a kiss, I've been away 22 years, you thought I was dead, you thought I was assimilated, you thought I was gone, and Yaakov Avinu lo nasan lo. Yaakov Avinu wouldn't let him kiss him, and Yaakov Avinu wouldn't get near him, but who lo nashko le Yosef, why? Amar, he said, Yaakov told him, Ulai mipnei shahaya begalus, I know you've been hanging around this community here for 22 years, maybe throughout all these years, Nashim nashku oso mipnei yofio, you're a very good looking guy, maybe you've been involved with some women that are not appropriate for you to be involved with, and therefore Yaakov says, I don't trust you, I don't know where you're up to right now, I won't kiss you, I don't know what has kissed this face, I don't know what you've been involved with, I'm not so quick to run back to you. Very troubling statement, which means Yaakov Avinu had no idea what was happening with his own son Yosef. Not only that, later on in life, this went on for years. Later on in his life, Yaakov Avinu at the very end wants to give a blessing to all the children. Yosef brings his children in, and Yaakov Avinu all of a sudden loses his power of Shechina. Right? It says, Nestalke Hemenu HaShechina. So he says, Mi Eile. He turns to Yosef and he says, who are these kids? Maybe that's the reason why the Shechina went away. Is there something wrong with these kids? Yosef says back, these are my children. What's the problem? Yaakov says, are you sure they're legitimate children? Are you sure? Maybe that's why the Shechina has left me. And the Medrash writes that Yosef says, and he says, Bazeh. Yosef says, I'll show you. Rashi comments that he showed him the shtar ksuba. He showed him, no, I got married legitimately. These are really my children, which means at the very end of Yaakov Avinu's life, he still never knew what was going on with Yosef all those years. He still didn't believe that Yosef was the great tzaddik that we know him to be. It was a great mystery all those years that there was absolutely no connection at all between Yosef HaTzaddik and his family and his father. And yet Rav Kook points out that as much as Yosef may have tried to get rid of his family, and as much as Yosef may not have reported back to his family like the Ramban says, and he lost contact with his father and nobody knew what was going on all those years, what is fascinating, writes Rav Kook, is that with all that going on, he never stopped focusing on the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And Rav Kook points out that time and again throughout the story of Yosef in Mitzrayim and all of his travels, you see him mentioning the name of Hashem over and over again. He says, Es Elokim ani yarei, Baruch hamakom sheshkichani beis avi. Even when Yosef says, I'm so happy to get rid of my family, he says, Baruch hamakom, Baruch Hashem. He says, I believe in God. I'm just happy to be away from the family, but I am a fierce and staunch believer in God, and I will always believe. When he is asked to interpret the dreams, what does Yosef say? Hello, Lelokim Pisronim. Why are you asking me? I have a God that I believe in. It's all up to him. When he's later on taken into the home of Paro to interpret his dreams, what does he say? Biladai Elokim Yana Shalom Paro. If God doesn't give me the ability to be involved here, it's just not going to happen. When he meets his brothers again, as we said, he says, Es Elokim Ani Yarei, writes Rav Kook, it means that Yosef was remembering about God all throughout this process. He may have forgotten about his family for whatever reason. The Ramban has a problem with that. Why is that the case? But Yosef certainly felt that God was always with him, and he always reminded himself that he had a purpose and a mission to do in Mitzrayim. So what was that purpose? What was that mission? Listen to a beautiful interpretation of Rav Kook, where he suggests the following. Yosef looks at the avos that came before him, and he says, I must be the one who was designated to be Mamshech Darkam. I must be the one who was left behind to be the one to carry on the legacy of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. After all, Avram Avinu had two children. Not both of his children carried on that legacy. There was Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak was chosen of the two kids. Yitzchak Avinu has two children, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is the only one that carries on the legacy of his father. Yosef says, hey, I have a bunch of brothers. They're all eating Avram and Achai. Do you remember last week's parsha? It says, Yosef goes back, Vayavei Yosef as dibasamar el avihem. My brothers are lowlives. It can't be that they're the ones who are supposed to lead the legacy from our great father. Can that be? These people who are eating Avram and Achai, these people who go and sell me, these people who wanted to kill me, they're the ones who are going to be Mamshech Darkam Shel Yaakov Avinu. It must be that it's me. And after all the dreams that I had, I was the one who was highlighted, I was the one who stuck out, and everybody else was in a different league than I was. It must be that I am considered to be the one who is supposed to lead on that legacy of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The next chain of the link is going to be Yosef. And Yosef says, here I am. I have no idea why I was sent down here. I don't know why I'm suffering so much. But one thing I do know is that I certainly have a mission and a purpose. If God sent me here, that it means He wants me to do something here. And Yosef said to himself, the same way that my Zeta, that my grandfather Avraham Avinu, went into a world that knew nothing about the existence of God, that had no appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he made it his business, says the Medrash, to inform everybody that came in contact with him that there is a God in the world and we have to recognize His presence. Yosef says, that is my job here. I'm in a land where they don't believe in God. All they have is Avodah Zarah all over the place. Yosef says, I'm going to teach them. I'm going to single-handedly change this culture and show them that yes, you must recognize that there's a God in the world. The Medrash says, and the Gemara talks about it as well, that every time the Medrash writes as follows, Yosef mevarach laKadosh Baruch Hu al kol davar v'davar shehu oseh. Everything Yosef was involved with, he mentioned the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the process. He's walking around the house of Potiphar and he's mumbling to himself. And Potiphar turns to him, he says, who are you talking to? What is this? And he says, I'm having a conversation with God. Potiphar asks him, who's God? What's that about? And he says, I'd like to introduce you. And he starts telling him all about the Ribono Shel Olam. Potiphar says, yeah, you believe there's a God? How about show me where he is? I'd like to see him. So Yosef HaTzaddik says, look, you can't look straight at the sun. It's going to burn your eyes if you look directly at the sun. Do you think that God, who is the one who created the sun, you have the ability to actually see him? He's too powerful. He's too much. Not only that, the Medrash writes a number of other places. Medrash has a story about when Ashes Potiphar was trying to seduce Yosef HaTzaddik, it says that when they got to the bedroom, So she went and she covered over the Avodah Zarah. She said, it's not respectful for us to have an intimate relationship in front of the Avodah Zarah. And Yosef turns to her and he says, because of this, at zeh at mispayeshes mimenu, you're embarrassed to have an intimate relationship in front of the Avodah Zarah? What about God that it says about him, Eine Hashem mishotetas b'chala aretz? God is watching you at all times. Are you not afraid of him? So Yosef made this his mission to make sure that while he was there in Mitzrayim and while he was in a foreign country, he went and he taught everybody about what the perspective of God is supposed to be. And Rav Kook goes on and on to explain how many times he tried to do this. And the kicker, which I find so fascinating, Rav Kook reinterprets a pasuk and he says, Va'amar, Yosef says to his brothers, Samani Elokim la'adon al-kol Mitzrayim. He says to his brothers, go back and tell our father Yaakov, Samani Elokim Adon Alkol Mitzrayim, that God has put me as the master, as the viceroy of the entire community, of this whole country. Look how powerful I am. He shouldn't be afraid to come down. Writes Rav Kook, maybe it means something different. Samani Elokim doesn't mean that God has put me, but rather, I have put God as the Adon Alkol Mitzrayim. That's what I was doing here for 22 years. I was stuck in a foreign land, but I never allowed that to take away from what I think God wants me to do here. He wanted me to come here and teach the world that there is a God who is present. And as much as you believe in your Avodah Zarah, I will show you and I will teach you as much as I can that perhaps this is something that that's missing. And that is what Yosef was successful in doing in his years in Mitzrayim, writes Rav Kook. That's what he means. And he says, Samani Elokim le'adon al-kol Mitzrayim. I have placed the Ribono Shel Olam as the leader of all of Mitzrayim, and they all know it. The Medrash writes that Yosef made all of them get a bris milah because he said, God wants you to have a bris milah. You got to go get it. You want food? You have a bris milah. Yosef forced his gzeiros, his ideals, on the entire country, on the whole community. It was amazing. And perhaps this was what Yosef understood his mission to be, even in those terrible, difficult years. In Galus, Yosef understood a Jew always has a mission, as painful as it is to be away from one's family, and as difficult as it was to be thrown out by his own brothers, and to be neglected by his own people who he was closest with, Yosef understood, God has a mission for me even now. And he successfully was able to accomplish that mission, so much so that his father had no idea what was going on, his brothers had no idea what was going on, and Yosef, writes the Ramban, of those 22 years, he was so busy doing what he did that he never went back to report to his family and say where he was and what was going on, because he was so busy taking care of whatever it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted him to do in his years in Mitzrayim. Like I said, this is not a conclusive piece. It's just some thought-provoking ideas about the story. When you read the Midrashim and you try to understand what exactly was going on between Yosef and his brothers, it's not as simple a story as the Torah makes it sound. There's a lot of elements to the story that seem to be very troubling and very difficult, but hopefully this gives a little bit more of a perspective to the whole encounter that we will read this coming Shabbos and reading over next Shabbos as well through the Parshiyos of Yosef and his brothers.